Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience.
Hello, welcome back to Big Les's League, an all rugby league experience. I'm your host, Big Les. Let's go through your Super Saturday. That was the Bulldogs, the Tigers, the Titans, the Melbourne Storm, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. We had a jam-packed Super Saturday. Let's go through it. We'll start off with the Bulldogs and the West Tigers. What a game of footy. So entertaining. Very close game of footy, obviously. The Tigers obviously let down by the two sin bins they had late. Realistically, should have been four. There were four times where a player should have been sent for me. Obviously, two out of those four times, the player actually did go to the bin. The Brett Naden obstruction. It should have been a professional foul. It should have been more than a penalty, potentially a sin bin if we're going through what we've seen over the past few weeks in terms of these sort of calls. Also, the Aiden Caesar hip drop tackle. It probably should have been a sin bin. Over the past few weeks, the NRL has really cracked down on hip drop tackles. I imagine you might even see Aiden Caesar miss a bit of time for the Tigers, which would be devastating for them. Obviously, they only just got Lachie Galvin back. But it would be quite devastating if they do lose Aiden Caesar now as well. You'd think that Jaden Sullivan or Latu Fainu potentially comes in into that number 7 jersey. I think it's more likely we see Latu Fainu because he has been in the first grade side for the past few weeks, playing a bit more of a dummy half role, obviously, in this game. But I imagine he'll come in and play a bit of halfback if Aiden Caesar does miss a bit of time. But if we are going what we've seen, going off what we've seen for the past few weeks, that Aiden Caesar hip drop tackle should have been a sin bin because, you know, it has been a sin bin since the start of the season. It has been a sin bin for a long time. And, you know, maybe if Josh Curran is injured, he gets sent off. But are we really going to rule, you know, this much in the grey? Obviously, people complain if it's in the grey, they want it in black and white. If it's in black and white, they want it in the grey. There is no middle ground. We've seen different sort of calls from different referees. The inconsistency at the moment with calls is quite poor at the moment in terms of the refereeing that we've seen over the past few weeks. The consistency has been quite poor, and this game is a key example. Two out of four potential sin bins. Obviously, you don't want to see anyone going to the bin in a game, but, you know, if we are going to be consistent with rules, then you definitely have to make those tough calls. And, you know, realistically, we should have seen Aiden Caesar and maybe even Brett Naden for the obstruction spend some time in the bin for a professional foul. So, yeah, look, very, very interesting. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see what happens on Monday with these players, I guess. You know, we might even find out by the time this podcast comes out if, you know, we do see Aiden Caesar miss some time for that hip drop tackle. We might even find out before that because we are recording this on the Sunday morning. So we'll have to wait and see with that one. But yeah, I thought I'd address those straight away so we don't have to talk about them too much. And we do talk about this game because it was such a solid game of football. Obviously, both sides can be completing at high rates. Obviously, the Bulldogs completing at 89%. The West Tigers completing at 86, so it was solid completion rates in terms of errors. It was quite even, 8 to the Tigers, 6 to the Bulldogs. Penalties was 6-7, ruck infringements was 2-1. You know, inside the 10 metres, obviously the Bulldogs got done with that twice. The West Tigers didn't get done with that at all. On reports, there was 3 for the Tigers and 1 for the Bulldogs, and obviously the two sin bins there for the Bulldogs being Alex Seyfarth and Dave Clemmer. I mean, the West Tigers were getting done for dissent quite often throughout the game. There was a few penalties for dissent in this game as well. Due to the fact that a lot of these penalties for the West Tigers were in succession of each other. They just kept happening. John Bateman did say that the players were getting frustrated. But then again, there's no sort of, I guess, excuse to, you know, talk down to a referee in that sort of manner. And look, we don't know what was said, but if it's bad enough for him to be sent to the bin, then you can't really do that in a game of football. Even if you are frustrated with calls, there's no real excuse to be talking, you know, down on that, down like that, I should say, to an official, even if they are making some calls that you don't agree with. And then the Alex Seyfarth one was just dumb. Obviously, just the headbutt there. You know, obviously, a little bit of a niggle with Reid Marnie coming in a bit late. You know, lucky we didn't see Reid Marnie go off to the bin as well, because that would have been huge for the Bulldogs. But yeah, look, I mean, it was a bit stupid from Alex Seyfarth. And Yeah, you don't want to say that at all, really. You don't want to say that at all. Now, let's talk about some positives for the Bulldogs. I really enjoyed their style of play. Both edges looking very dangerous. And I think Stephen Crichton, he's found a home on that right-hand side with Jacob Kiraz. He had a very slow start to the year, in my opinion, being on that left-hand side with Josh Adokar. I think he suits the right a lot more in this side. Obviously, was a left center for the Panthers, but I think he does suit the right-hand side a lot more in this team. He just sets up Kiraz so nicely, and even that tip-on early in the game when Kiraz nearly scored a try, tried to offload it back through the middle, and it was a knock-on. That was unreal. Obviously, giving Kiraz a lot of space. Kiraz had 18 runs for 165 metres, 7 tackle busts to finish the game. He was great. And then you look back over to the left-hand side, Adokar and Bronson Sherry. Those two are looking unreal as well. Bronson Sherry having 11 runs for 123 metres, and then Adokar having a 13 runs for 114 metres as well. 2 tackle busts in there for Adokar. He looked really impressive as well. I think that the back line for the Bulldogs is set in stone. This is what the back line needs to be for the rest of the year. I really enjoyed watching these guys. And Blake Taff, I thought it was one of his better performances of the year as well. 17 runs, 165 metres, 32 post-contact metres, had a tackle bust in there as well. I thought that he was really, really solid. And every time he came up to hit the ball, even though he's one of the smaller guys, even though he wasn't really winning the contact, in most of those cases, he just still kept coming back and trying again. Look, in attack as well, just in their passage of play, spreading sets, you know, everything. I thought that he looked really silky as well there at fullback. It looks like that he'll keep that spot moving forward. I'm not sure as to what happened to Connor Tracy, whether there was an injury there or something like that. But yeah, I liked Blake Taff in this game. I thought he was very impressive, and I imagine he'll keep that spot going into next week. And then, yeah, we talked about it. We've talked about it every week, but the forward pack here for the Bulldogs, obviously it was Max King, and then I believe Josh Curran came off the bench in this one. Sam Hughes started the game. Both of these guys really solid. I thought that they did a great job to set the tone in this game. You look at Sam Hughes, 10 runs, 79 metres, 32 post-contact. He had 6 tackle busts as well. And then Max King, 12 runs, 121 metres. And then 34 tackles too in defense. I thought that Max King and Sam Hughes did very well to start the game. Josh Curran off the bench too, playing 44 minutes, had 14 runs for 120 meters, 54 post contact. He had a tackle bust in there as well, 27 tackles. I thought that he was great when he came onto the field. And just like the smaller guys doing a great job as well. I've been really impressed with Curtis Morin every single week, just coming out and having a dig. 8 runs, 77 metres, 16 post-contact. I thought that he was really solid. Played 29 minutes in this game. Then you had Bailey Hayward playing 41 minutes and just being a real facilitator there in the middle, coming on, playing that bit of a roaming lock sort of role. 7 runs, 54 metres, but defensively very solid. Obviously, 21 tackles, only 1 missed. I thought that he was great. But they're just coming in and they're winning the contact. They're winning the battle there through the middle. It's insane to see such a small forward pack. You know, there's a halfback in there. You know, Curtis Morin's not the biggest forward you've ever seen. He's more of an edge coming into the middle and doing a great job. Blake Taff was on the bench to start this game as well. Preston was on the bench. He didn't get any minutes, though. I think that they were just having him on the bench just in case they needed him. But I imagine he'll be back next week. But yeah, look, I mean, their bench guy is doing a really, really solid job. And the fact that they didn't even need Jacob Preston coming off the bench, Curtis Morin, Sam Hughes, that was enough for the Bulldogs. It's just so good to see. Really, really solid to see. And yeah, very impressive how such a small forward pack can be doing such a great job over some of the top forward packs in the game. It's going to be a real test for them, how they can handle themselves through the middle against some of these top sides like your Panthers, your Broncos, those sort of forward packs. It's going to be interesting to see when they come up against those sides how they do go. Viliami Kikau, I thought that he was great on the edge. He's in some pretty terrific form. 13 runs, 124 metres, 47 post-contact metres. He had 7 tackle busts and then defensively 17 tackles as well. I thought that he was great on the edge there, playing some really great footy at the moment, Viliami Kikau. really great football. Just looking dangerous every time he runs the ball. He's a big part of that left edge. And he's been in some terrific form. A bit of a slow start to the year and obviously a bit of a slow comeback last year as well. But he's really found his groove. And he's one of the better back rowers at the moment in the competition. Matt Burton having a really big day. 12 runs, 117 metres, 30 post contact, a line break, a tackle bust. He was outstanding and just proving that he's one of the better running 5'8s in the game. And he's making a case for himself too, maybe for a New South Wales Blues 6 jersey. Obviously, I think it's going to be between those two. For that number 6 jersey, Mitch Moses doesn't return until a week before. You know, Adam Reynolds probably ruled out now to make a debut in the halves. I don't think that he is going to come in anyway. Because I don't think they're going to move Nathan Cleary. I think Nathan Cleary's locked into the seven as far as we know in terms of how this injury is going to go and how that's going to affect him going into the Origin series. We don't know yet, but you'd imagine that Nathan Cleary's locked in. It's probably between Nico Hines and Matt Burton for that number 6 jersey. A lot of people have Nico Hines. I have Nico Hines at the moment, but if Matt Burton was picked tomorrow, I wouldn't push past it either. Plus, you can play Matt Burton in the centres as well, and I wouldn't push past it at all. In fact, if he was picked in the centres tomorrow, I'd agree with it 100%. I think it's between him and Critter, and then obviously Isaac Tungo as well for a centre spot. I think Tom Trbojevic has locked himself in. It is going to be keen. I'm very excited to see how this New South Wales Blues side does look, but I imagine that, you know, you might see Critter, you might see a Matt Burton in this side as well. Very, very solid start to the year. Maybe Josh Curran's a little bit of a smoky as well if we're talking State of Origin as well. Now, talking about the West Tigers, it was a pretty solid performance from them all up. Obviously, Jareem Buller played quite well, 21 runs, 182 metres, 52 post-contact metres, 2 line break assists, 10 tackle busts. He was a big part of their offense, and it's particularly when they got a bit of a roll on down that right-hand side with Brett Naden and Charlie Staines. Jareem Buller was a big part of that. They had two opportunities. One of them, obviously, Charlie Staines scored off in that first half, and then they nearly went there again. It was a forward pass from Brett Naden, which you could have argued went back as well, but at the end of the day, it was called forward. They had two massive opportunities to spread down that right-hand side and score tries. They executed off one of them, but that right edge just looks so dangerous. I think Brett Naden's probably going to keep his spot now. I don't imagine he comes out of this side anytime soon. Him and Charlie Staines were really solid on that right edge. Olam playing some decent footy as well, but didn't get much impact when he ran the ball. 9 runs for 68 metres. Just not as impactful as I thought he would be. And then you have Alamalo, obviously not having too much impact as well. Keep in mind, he is coming over to rugby league for the first time. He's been playing rugby union for his whole career. 14 runs for 84 metres, though. It just isn't really good enough for first grade. Did have 4 tackle busts, so he's really good in contact. I'd just like to see him get a few more runs or, you know, have just a bit more impact in his runs, and I think that's going to come in time as well. Now, John Bateman, I think, is really solid at lock. I think that he does a really good job there. I'd be keeping him there too. Defensively, really holds down that middle. He had 48 tackles there in the middle as well, only missing 2. And I think that, you know, as well, I think that Samuel Afanu is probably going to keep that left edge spot. 10 runs, 103 metres, had a tackle bust in there as well, 55 post-contact, 36 tackles, only 1 miss. Again, he's just a guy that I want to see get a lot more ball on that left-hand side. He had 10 runs, but this is a guy you need to be feeding the pill to on a constant basis, just getting him as much ball as possible. I think that he can be so dangerous for that side if you, you know, just give him quality ball there on that left-hand side. And, you know, him and Galvin, I imagine, will build a pretty formidable combination there over the next few weeks. And then the last guy I want to talk about for the Tigers is Fanua Pole. Obviously, he started at 13. He got pushed to the bench. It didn't faze him at all. He's come out. He's had, obviously, 29 minutes in this game, 10 runs, 92 metres, 45 post-contact, hit a line break, 4 tackle busts, and then 11 tackles there. I thought that he was really, really solid. I thought that he did a great job in this side and was a key part of their pack in their go-forward, even though he only played around the 29 to 30 minute mark. A really solid performance, in my opinion, from the West Tigers. Obviously, a few errors in that second half let them down, and obviously those sin bins really hurt them in terms of their defense, finishing the game with 11 men, and it just allowed the Bulldogs to really keep this game in their hands as well. You know, and they nearly scored another try through Kurt Mann through the middle of the park, so You could just tell how dangerous this Bulldog side is going to be. As I said, it is going to be a test for them, how they go up against these top sides later in the year. But I am excited to see how they go, particularly with the forward battle as well. It's going to be a big thing for them playing with this smaller pack. Yes, they can do it against some of the bottom sides, but how do they go against these top sides? We'll have to wait and see. Let's move on to the next game. The Titans taking on the Melbourne Storm. What about this game? It was very close for a game we thought was going to be a bit of a blowout to the Melbourne Storm. We did say, though, that if it was a dry track, that the Titans, they would put on a bit of a show, and they definitely did so. And, you know, in my opinion, I think they should have probably won the game too. They obviously had a big call at the end of the game that cost them, really, to obviously give them an opportunity to score a try in this one. The Melbourne Storm, they did not score for the entire second half. And obviously, the Titans, they nearly came back to in that second half as well. A lot of opportunities that they didn't execute. They were 2 points away from coming back in this game. And unfortunately, it looks like they lost only just at the end. And as we said, it is a game that realistically they could have won and probably should have won too, because they were the better team in the second half. The Melbourne Storm, some very uncharacteristic errors that we've seen slowly creep into their game. And for a side to have a higher completion rate than the Melbourne Storm, I know it's not by much, it's literally only by one set, 80%, 78%, 29 from 36 sets completed to 29 from 37 sets completed. So actually very similar. But for a side to have a higher completion rate, you know, in the second half, to have a bit more possession as well, obviously 51% possession, I should say, to the Titans to 49. Yes, the Titans should have probably executed a few more of their opportunities, and they did concede 7 penalties, a lot of those being in the first half. But yeah, look, I mean, the Titans realistically, they were very close to winning this game. They probably should have won this game if they had executed on all their opportunities. But unfortunately, it did go the way of the Melbourne Storm. Now, one guy that I thought was really impressive, kicking all of the goals too, Brian Kelly. I thought that it was one of his better games, obviously. 13 runs, 134 metres, sorry, a 2-tackle bust. I thought that he was quite good in the centres, one of his better games. I thought that AJ Brimson as well, 18 runs for 176 metres, 2 line breaks, a line break assist, a try assist, 7 tackle busts. He was in everything, and he was really trying to pull his side back into this game. He was really giving it a red-hot crack, and he was one of the better players on the park. Kieran Foran as well, really, really slick with his ball playing. 81 metres off 13 runs for him as well. 3 tackle busts. He was outstanding. 464 kicking metres as well there for Kieran Foran. Shout out to the Titans as well to do that with Tanner Boyd going down with 8 minutes, you know, in the first half. He went down 8 minutes into the game. Tanner Boyd, they brought on Sam Verrills into number 9 and moved Chris Randall into the halves. For them to have this type of performance with, you know, a hooker, and, you know, for most of the weeks that we've seen hooker slash lock forward move into that 5'8 jersey, and for them to be very close to beating the Melbourne Storm is super impressive. Now, obviously, the main man in this game, the one that stood out the most, was Dave Fifita. 17 runs, 110 metres, 15 tackle busts. 15 tackle busts of 16 hit-ups, 27 tackles, 0 missed. He was outstanding in this game. Really set the tone and looked so, so good and very dangerous. Sam Verrills as well, when he came onto the field, 118 metres off 17 runs. 7 runs, sorry. 118 metres off 7 runs is just absolutely insane. 3 tackle busts. He was so dangerous out of dummy half. 39 tackles too in this game for him. I thought that he was really, really solid. Sam Verrills did a great job in this one. Philip Sami had a great return too. 19 runs, 207 metres, 69 post-contact metres, 2 line breaks, 5 tackle busts. The Titans, when they had the ball in their hands, they were just on a roll. They could not be stopped. Philip Sami, AJ Brimson, Dave Fifita, Kieran Foran leading this side in the number 7 jersey. It's going to be interesting to see what direction they go with Tanner Boyd being out, but for them to have this type of performance without their 5'8", I thought was massive, particularly with the performances that we've been seeing from Tanner Boyd too over the past few weeks. He's been very heavily involved. He's been one of their better players in attack as well over the past 2 weeks, running over 100 metres. Since his return from the suspension, he's been great. For them to have this type of performance without him, for AJ to stand up, Dave Fifita, you know, this Titans side is one that you might not have to look over like I have a number of times this season, with obviously Tino being ruled out. I even said that this team could be a wooden spoon side. But, you know, for them to have this type of performance
against Melbourne when they're at home. The dry track, as we spoke about, could be a big thing for them. Obviously, with the adversity they've faced over the past few weeks, I thought it was an unreal performance from the Gold Coast Titans. And again, it is another side with a little bit of a smaller forward pack. Their bench was Sam Verrills, Aaron Clark, Klese Haas, and Josiah Pahulu. Obviously, a much smaller pack than what we have seen from the Melbourne Storm, what we've seen from a number of clubs. And they seem to be a side that, even with the smaller, more mobile pack, they can still compete against these top sides. I'm keen to see how they go against some of the other top sides, but if they play anything like they did on this Saturday night, they are going to be an absolute handful. As for the Melbourne Storm, the first half was great. Jerome Hughes went on a bit of a clinic with his kicking game. I thought that he was great in that first half. Cam Munster with his running game looked great as well. Obviously, they shared the kicking around. Harry Grant had 128 kicking meters at a dummy half. Jerome Hughes had 266. Cam Munster had 124. Tyron Wishart had 20. Nick Meaney out of in the centers there obviously had 33 as well. Ryan Papenhuyzen in 29. They were sharing the kicking around. And that's what makes this side so unpredictable as well. You just don't know what they're going to do in last tackle. It's going to be interesting to see who goes to fullback. Obviously, with Ryan Papenhuyzen, a pretty severe ankle injury. He's broken a part of his fibula or whatever it's called in the ankle there. He's broken a little bit of that. That obviously he had a plate around, so he's going to be out for the next 6 to 8 weeks, which is going to be huge, especially, you know, he's only come back from a number of injuries. He's had a ton of adversity over the past 2 years. It is just so devastating to see him out again. Really, really devastating. As I said, though, it is going to be interesting to see what direction they go down. Obviously, you know, they could go with Tyron Wishart at fullback. You got to remember that Farlogo was also injured in this game, so he will be out as well. It's just going to be very, very interesting to see what they actually do, the Melbourne Storm, in terms of who they bring in to play that in that fullback jersey. Nick Meaney can go back there as well, but he's been killing it in the centres at the moment. I probably wouldn't move him out of there. Tyron Wishart would probably be the most likely option to go there to fullback, because even with Ryan Papenhuyzen out and they had Farlongo in the team, they still put Tyron Wishart at fullback over Farlongo as well, which was very interesting. So I imagine that even if Farlongo is okay and good to go, I could even see Farlongo hopping onto the wing there and staying on the wing while Xavier Coates is out. And then we do see maybe a Tyron Wishart play that fullback role. But they have got a few injuries now. They are stacking up. Ryan Papenhuyzen and Xavier Coates and now obviously Farlongo as well, potentially injured as well. They have got a lot of spots to fill. It is going to be interesting to see what this side does look like going into the next few weeks. Their younger side, though, the Bears, they are going quite well at the moment. What Storm guys they have coming through the ranks in there. Maybe someone gets a debut somewhere in the back line if Falongo is out as well. But yeah, look, I'm very excited to see how this Melbourne Storm side looks next week. I was quite disappointed, though. We've seen some massive Melbourne performances this year. You know, in this game, there was a few errors in this one from Melbourne. You know, the completion rate was okay. It was 78%, but you watch that second half, they made a few errors. They made a few poor choices, not completing as Melbourne usually do. It was just very strange. It was pretty un-Melbourne in that second half, and to not score in the second half against the Gold Coast Titans without, a Tino in that side, without their 5-8, it does raise a few concerns around Melbourne. But yeah, look, I mean, everyone has off weeks. I imagine Melbourne are going to come back and have a massive game going into next week, depending on how their side looks, as we said. Some positives, though, for Melbourne. Eli Katoa just proving every week that he's an absolute beast. And he scored a try in this game as well. Obviously got taken off him. But, you know, 91 metres of 12 runs. Had a tackle bust in there as well. 11 hit-ups, 30 tackles. He's just getting into his work there. So not a bad performance from Eli Katoa. I thought that Welchie started the game well as well. Obviously 44 minutes and 8 runs for 73 metres. Had a tackle bust in there as well. 6 hit-ups, 25 tackles. He's just getting through his work, Welchie. He looks really good. Josh King had a massive game. He played some big minutes as well. He played 71 minutes, Josh King, in the front row. It's huge. It's something that not a lot of people are talking about. But he had 132 metres off 14 runs, 44 post contact, a tackle bust in there, 29 tackles. I thought that Josh King was very good through the middle of the park, really getting through his work and getting heavily involved. Harry Grant was dangerous at a dummy half. His kicking game we spoke about before, but even his running game, what he can do around the ruck, setting up some of his guys, especially his combination with Munster, it is so dangerous. Trent Liero getting through his work as well. I thought that he was quite good at 13. 13 runs, 99 metres, nearly 100 metres. He had a tackle bust in there as well, 25 tackles. Again, just another guy just getting through his work. Melbourne, though, if there's one criticism about them as well, their defence in the second half was quite poor as well. You look at the missed tackles, Ryan Papenhuyzen 2, Remus Smith 1, Nick Meaney 3, Tyron Wishart 4, Cameron Munster 7, Jerome Hughes only 1, which is good, Welchy 2, Harry Grant 4, Josh King 4, Sean Bloor 3, Ali Katoa 4, Nelson 3. Nelson only played a few minutes, I think 36 minutes. Yeah, interesting. But yeah, just a lot of missed tackles in this game, which again is just so un-Melbourne. Alec McDonald 3 as well. So un-Melbourne. You know, the only players not to miss a tackle was Will Warbrick. And that was it. Will Warbrick was the only player in this side not to miss a tackle, which is, you know, again, just a bit un-Melbourne-like. And for Cam Munster to miss 7 as well, 7 tackles missed. He made 30, but still 7 tackles missed, 4 tackles missed. Yeah, it's just very un-Melbourne, and that second half was just very un-Melbourne as well, as we spoke about. So definitely a lot of improving to do here for the Melbourne Storm, but there was a few positives in there as well. Dave Fifita, AJ Brimson starring in what was nearly a win for the Gold Coast Titans. They probably should have won that game. Melbourne lucky to grab the win there, but they are going to have to really push over the next few weeks with Ryan Papenhuyzen out yet again going into the next few weeks as well. And then the final game, it was the Cowboys taking on the Dolphins, 28-26. Again, a game that was very close, a game that could have gone any which way as well. Obviously, the Dolphins getting it done. Just they scored the same amount of tries. Conversions, again, being the difference here for Valentine Holmes. His goal kicking is usually a very, very good goal kicker, but over the past 2 to 3 weeks, just not icing some opportunities. It is a game that was, I wouldn't say fully decided by goal kicking, but if he kicks 5 from 5, they win the game. So, yeah, look, unfortunate. Cowboys so close to winning this one. Obviously, Jeremiah Nanai getting a late try, and obviously the Cowboys really pushing towards the back end of the game, but the Dolphins getting it done in what was a pretty decent performance from them. I thought that, again, you look at some of the guys from the Dolphins here. Isaiah Katoa having a pretty solid dig out there. 11 runs, 63 metres. Obviously, heavily involved there in attack, 456 kicking metres for him as well. I thought he looked silky when he had the ball in his hands. If there was anyone that had a bit of a clinic out there, though, it was Cody Nikorima on the other side of the park. 2 line break assists, 3 try assists, nearly 4 try assists as well. One of the tries obviously taken back. Forget who it was, though. 2 tackle busts there as well. I thought Cody Nikorima was great, super silky, and his combination with Trey Fuller is just so, so silky to watch as well. Speaking of Trey Fuller, having a pretty decent night again, 17 runs for 159 metres, 32 post contact, 4 tackle busts. So dangerous, Trey Fuller. A few errors from him in this game, but other than that, I thought that he was quite good. 4 errors there for Trey Fuller, but I thought that he was really giving it a dig and so dangerous when he runs the ball. And for such a small guy, especially a small fullback, he is so strong in contact as well, which is awesome to watch. Cody Nikorima, Trey Fuller, definitely standouts here for the Dolphins. Jermaine Asako as well, scoring a few tries in this game. 20 points, 3 tries, 4 conversions. I thought that he was quite good. 14 runs, 135 metres, 3 line breaks, 3 tackle busts, 32 post-contact metres for him there as well. Jake Avarillo too on that right-hand side. 2 line break assists and 2 try assists, 92 metres off 13 runs. And then defensively, 14 tackles, only 1 missed. I thought Jake Avarillo was really, really solid there in the centres as well. Mark Nichols, I thought, had a big game through the middle, 13 runs for 130 metres, 36 post contact, had a line break in this one as well, and then 20 tackles, 0 missed there for Mark Nichols. I thought he really had a dig in his 41-minute stint. And then Josh Kerr, who has been in some pretty decent form over the past few weeks, he's really been killing it out there. He finished the game with 120 run meters from 15 runs, 35 post contact. He had 12 hit ups, 2 tackle busts, 13 tackles, 0 missed. He has really been putting in some work over the past few weeks. Looked very, very good. Other than that, you know, it was a pretty decent performance all around. I thought that Ray Stone, his defense in this game was solid. He had a few key tackles that saved a few tries too and stopped the Cowboys from breaking in the line. Ray Stone, though, 11 runs, 97 meters, 2 tackle busts, 25 tackles. I thought that he was really, really solid too coming off the bench in this game. Maxi Plath too, 11 runs, 95 meters, 44 tackles, 6 missed, but still 44 tackles. Pretty decent there from Maxi Plath. A pretty decent performance from the Dolphins, but then you go ahead and you look at their stats. Obviously, 85% completed as a team as well, compared to 78% there from the Cowboys. 51% possession there too for the Dolphins. In terms of the errors in this game, 11 errors to 13. There was a very high error count, particularly in the last few minutes of the game. Penalties conceded, 5 from the Dolphins to 3 from the Cowboys. 4 ruck infringements from the Cowboys, which is something as well in their defense. That sort of gave them away a little bit and gave the Dolphins a lot of opportunity to run the football. In saying that, I thought it wasn't the worst performance from the Cowboys. Obviously, in the first half, they were the better side. Going into halftime, they were up 22-18. It still was a pretty close game, but the Cowboys finished the first half as the better team. Scott Drinkwater, 24 runs, 131 meters, 35 post-contact. He had 3 line break assists, 2 try assists in there as well, 2 tackle busts. I thought that he was great at fullback, had a really solid dig. You then had Valor Holmes, 18 runs, 191 meters, 60 post-contact meters, a line break assist, 4 tackle busts. I thought that he was great too in the centers. I really like the look of Viliami Vaila. Really strong in contact. He can really get you a few post-contact meters, 61 post-contact meters for him, 132 meters or 15 runs. I thought that he was great. 3 tackle busts out there as well. Super strong in contact. He looks really good on that right edge. And, you know, if he goes well over the next few weeks, he could keep that spot long-term as well and be that long-term replacement for Peter Hiku. I thought his first game was quite solid. Didn't set the world alight, but I thought that whenever he ran the ball, super, super solid in contact. And whenever they went that way, he looked really, really good. I thought that Jake Clifford coming back into this side as well, 54 run meters of 8 runs. He had a try assist in there as well, 2 tackle busts, 20 tackles as well, 0 missed, 330 kick meters. I thought that Jake Clifford looked really comfortable coming back into this side. Obviously, I feel like that's been a criticism of Jake Clifford, I guess, you know, in first grade, was he just didn't look comfortable wherever he was. He was brought in a little bit too early for the Cowboys, and every time he came in, it wasn't like he was setting the world alight. He got let go, went to Newcastle, didn't really fit in there either. Gone over to the Super League, had a little bit of joy over there, looked quite good over there as well. Then he comes back to the Cowboys, and yeah, he's just found that comfort. Being out there, obviously, at halfback, he really looks comfortable out there. Obviously, depending on how long Chad Townsend's going to be out over the next few weeks, I'm excited to see how he goes, Jake Clifford. I really am. I thought that he had a really solid game out there. Obviously, not so much in the second half as the side wasn't really going well, you know, as a whole. But, yeah, I thought that Jake Clifford, in attack, I thought looked really, really solid. In defense as well, 20 tackles, 0 missed. I thought he had a real dig out there. Look, Griffin Name, I thought was solid as well. 13 runs, 139 meters. It was one of the more solid games I've seen from him. Had 10 in-ups as well. Then 34 tackles in defense was great. I thought that Jeremiah Nanai, you know, obviously nearly scored a try at the start of the game, but scored one towards the back end. Had 74 run meters of 11 runs, a tackle bust in there as well. Thought he looked good. Ruben Cotter was one of the better games I've seen from him. 12 runs, 102 meters, 7 tackle busts as well. And then in defense, 47 tackles, only 1 missed. He was outstanding there at 13. Ruben Cotter, really solid week from him. And then we've been speaking about it for the past 3 weeks now, but Jason Taumalolo, he's impact off the bench. 12 runs, 121 meters, 55 post-contact, and then 18 tackles with only 2 missed in 43 minutes. I thought that in attack, he just looked hungry out there. He was one of the better forwards for the Cowboys as well. Really, really solid game from him. I really enjoyed watching Jason Taumalolo off the bench. But yeah, look, I mean, it was a decent performance in that first half. And Tom Dearden as well is another guy we didn't speak about. 16 runs, 133 meters, 40 post-contact, had a line break, 2 line break assists, a try assist, 4 tackle busts. Was really dangerous, 26 tackles as well. Tom Dearden's been in some pretty decent form. No matter if they win or lose the Cowboys, he always looks good. I thought that was one of his better games as well. They were a really solid team in the first half. The second half, you know, only scored the 4 points and then, yeah, just looked like they were struggling a little bit to contain the Dolphins. The Dolphins just were putting on a parade as well in attack. They looked very, very solid. It was a pretty tight game and a pretty close one. But yeah, look, I mean, really solid game of football. Conversions could have been the difference here for Val Holmes if he just had kicked one more goal or maybe even two more goals. The Cowboys win the game. So, yeah, bit of an interesting one and definitely one for Val Holmes to work on in terms of his goal kicking, but a solid game all around and one that I really enjoyed watching.
That's full time. See you in the next one.